Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Thank you for joining us today on this broadcast of No BS Bishop. I am Bishop Randy Dean, and I am so happy, so delighted to be with you today. It is a thrill that you would give me the honor of your time, that you would spend some moments with me on these broadcasts, and ultimately to be a podcast, and stay tuned for more information on that. I am, again, Randy Dean from Forest, Wisconsin. I am a no BS bishop. That means no bait and switch and whatever else you think it might mean. I'll leave that up to you. I am convinced that we are on this planet to be alive to love. That's the full title of this broadcast, No BS Bishop, Alive to Love. Alive to love, everything less is just BS. We are called not to be people of doctrinal stands. We're not called to be people of furious finger pointing and shaming and blaming. We're not called to be the police of the moral police of our planet. We're called to be, not called to be prosecutors, but priests. We are called to be a priesthood. That's from the scripture. It's from Martin Luther, actually, was one of the great church fathers who said that we are a priesthood of believers. We're all here not to prosecute, but to be a priesthood, to stand in the gap for folks, and to stand there on behalf of people who have no other hope in this life but that somebody showed up and demonstrated honest to God, real, beautiful love, L-O-V-E. So you're going to be in for a ride with me as I share with you from a variety of sources, not the least of which is Scripture, but I'm also convinced that through history we have heard from prophets and priests and even kings along the way that have taught us that love is the one value that makes life real life. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of those prophets, one of those kings, if you will, and no pun intended there, who expressed to us that we are here on this planet for the purposes of love. He routinely was given to say things that we cannot cast out hate with more hate, but we can only cast out darkness with light. That love is the one purpose that we ought to all give ourselves for and live our life forward in. One of the things that King said was that he believed that unconditional love and unarmed truth would have the final say on reality. Let me say that again. Unconditional love and unarmed truth would have the final say in reality. When people ask me about the final judgment, when people ask me about, well, what's God going to do with this person or that person? What will come of those folks that never prayed a certain prayer or never went to a certain church? What will come of somebody who didn't believe like I believed? I tell them this one thing. Love alone is the credible basis for faith in Christianity. Unconditional love will have the final say on reality. When I look at Jesus, it was said of him that he didn't come to judge the world, but that the world would be loved and saved through him. So I'm not looking for anything less than what when my final day on this earth is past and my eyes close, I believe my eyes will open and I will look into the face of pure, unmitigated, unconditional, unrestricted, magnificent, high, deep, wide, and tall love. Love will look me in the eye in that day, and I'm going to leave love to decide what happens to me from there forward. So, I'm Randy Dean. Like you've heard before, I'm here to teach you a little bit about being alive to love. You've heard me quote author and musician Rico Dashim in the past year, and my favorite quote of his is, "Live to learn to love to live, to learn so that you may live the life you yearn." There you have it. Live to love to learn. Excuse me. There you go. That's a tongue twister. Live to learn, to love. Learn to love, to live. Love to live, to learn, so that you may live the life you yearn. There's no other way to live a full and abundant and prosperous and good life other than to be a person of love. To love people as they are, not as we wish them to be. To see in people, everybody that is on this planet looking for a way to be loved, a way to be respected as a person worthy of love. I've never been able to comprehend looking at anybody any other way except by the eyes of love. Maya Angelou, a great poet, great prophet, if you will, says this: love recognizes no barriers. It jumps hurdles. It leaps fences. It penetrates walls to arrive at its destination, full of hope. Every person we are looking at in this life is waiting for somebody to look at us and to jump hurdles, leap fences, penetrate walls, and to arrive at a destination of hope for that person. One of the things I've said along here off and on is another quote from Barbara Brown Taylor, who said, "The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love your neighbor as yourself, to encounter another human being, not as someone to fix, change, use, help, save, enroll, convince, or control, but simply as someone who can spring you from the prison of yourself, if you'll allow it." So that's where I want to land here in this last 20 minutes, or the fullness of this broadcast, is Barbara Brown Taylor and her quote: "The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love the neighbor as yourself, to encounter another human being, not as someone to fix, not as someone to change, not as someone to use, not as someone to help, not as someone to save or enroll or convince or control, but simply as someone who can spring you or me from the prison of ourselves, if you'll allow it." There you have it. The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love your neighbor as yourself. So let's just spend a little time on that. I know, in life that everybody is encountering difficult and sometimes even monstrous people. I want to be sure that you don't hear me sound like some kind of Johnny Come Lately, some kind of wet behind the ear little boy, that I've never encountered difficult people. I have had my fair share, as anybody who's listening to me. Difficult people are a part of the human race. They are everywhere. They're at every stop sign. They're in every grocery store. They're in every post office. And by the way, they're in every church. So I've been a pastor all through my adult life. I've just recently stepped aside from one pastorate for a 30-year stint, which I'm very proud of and pleased and actually humbled that I was able to survive that. But through those 30 years in that one place, I encountered a fair amount of difficult people, and even a few people who you would even categorize as mean-spirited, angry, and perhaps even downright nasty. So when it comes to spiritual work, when you're faced with nastiness, when you're faced with difficult people, Barbara Brown Taylor's quote here is absolutely stunningly spot on. It is to see that someone as your own key out of your prison of self. The prison of self looks like this. So a difficult person shows up, they insult you either intentionally or covertly. You're suddenly needing to either strike back or fall back inside yourself and wonder within yourself, how true is this? Maybe I really am an ugly person. Maybe I am a dud. Maybe I am dumb. Maybe I am whatever they called you. And it's at that very moment, when a difficult person shows up in your life, that you're being offered the key out of yourself. You're being offered a moment to spring out of the prison of self. So let's cover that for just a moment. So an ugly person, a nasty person shows up, and they're insulting, and they're mean-spirited. And you find yourself, like I said, on either end of that spectrum. Let's talk about the revenge. Let's talk about getting back at them. So first of all, Martin Luther King Jr. says that you cannot cast out darkness with more darkness. You cannot. Love is the only thing that casts out hate. So when we're faced with somebody who is unloving, uncaring, unabiding with anything of decency, now you're faced with an option. And that option is this: do I or do I not have in that moment the full range of my own choice in that moment? Or have I just given the keys of my will to this nasty person? Now I've got to work through and make sure that I am holding the keys to my own soul in my own hands or in my own heart. So if nasty, let's say Mr. or Mrs. Nasty shows up, they are nasty to you, and now you're feeling the sting of that nasty word. By the way, love doesn't mean I don't feel the pain of their nastiness. In fact, the more you love, the more you'll feel the pain of that nastiness, which is why some of us are a little afraid of loving. But that's a whole nother story. Let me finish. I'll continue on. So here I am. I'm confronted with somebody's nastiness, and I feel the sting of it, which is appropriate and very human. Now, if I hold the keys to my own life and heart, I will look at this person and recognize this is an unloved soul. This person has found in their own life the lack of love is so intense that they lash out at other human beings, that they find that it's normal to be nasty, that's normal to be painful, it's normal to inflict pain on other people. I've often said, hurt people hurt people. Listen to that carefully. Hurt people hurt people. When you are hurt, you will be a hurting person, and out of your hurt, you will hurt others. So when I see this person in their nastiness, in their drive to cause me pain, I'm now struck with the possibility of clicking off a few instant choices. First of all, I got to see this person as having been unloved at some place in their life. So now here I am. I'm here to love them. And in my love for them, I am not going to return evil for evil, darkness for darkness, hate for hate, meanness for meanness, because at the end of that, we're all going to stand there in a great big heaping pile of nothing. But if I'm going to walk away from that intact, if I'm going to walk away from that, yes, with a feeling of hurt, but also, yes, with a sense that I've fulfilled and am fulfilling my commandment to love, I will not see this person as somebody to change, to help, to save, to convince or control, but someone who can spring me from the prison of myself. So now I can look at them and smile and say, I suppose if that's the way you feel about me, then that's where I'm going to leave you with that opinion. If that's how you need to look at me, then I'm going to leave it with you and allow you to have the privilege of your choice. Something along those lines. You know, it really is a script that you can keep in your mind. Have you ever walked away from those moments and thought, oh, I wish I would have said, I could have told him off, I could have given it to him? How about rather than that, have a template in your life, an emotional, verbal template in your life, where when you hear a nasty comment directed at you, you can look at them and say, well, I suppose if that's the way you choose to feel about me, I'll leave you with it. And walk away, not being in any way compelled to control them, convince them, enroll them, help them, save them. By the way, all of those are components of codependency. I suppose I should do a broadcast just on codependency. But we are not here to fix other people. Listen to that carefully, especially my precious brothers and sisters and family in the church. We are not here to fix other people. We are here to give our hearts the full attention to the love of God that we can possibly give. And in being loved, we will love. And out of love, there is no need to control or fix other people. Mark that down. Write it on your calendar. Do not fix anyone today. Keep your eye on yourself, on your own heart. So when Mr. or Mrs. Nasty has given me a shot and I feel the pain and I feel the slice of their dagger, I can walk away from that having stated, if that's what you choose to believe about me, I'm going to leave it with you there. So then we're free to then be sprung from our own prison. We may rehearse that moment. We may rehearse the pain. Never ever fall victim to the notion that forgiveness means you're going to forget. That isn't even a human condition. Forgiveness does not mean forgetfulness. Forgiveness is remembering without a need for vengeance. Listen to that. Listen to that. Mark that down. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is remembering without a need for vengeance. I can remember the moment and then finish my memory of that moment by stating, I have no need for a pound of their flesh. Theirs is their own punishment. Their own feelings, their own misery is their own punishment. I don't need to inflict any more punishment than the fact that that person lives in some form of pain, that they're causing pain for me or others. So forgiveness. I have a choice now to forgive and to remember without a need for vengeance, which also keeps me from being trapped in a prison. As Barbara Brown Taylor's quote is, the hardest spiritual work in the world is to love the neighbor as the self, to encounter another human being, not as someone to fix, change, use, help, save, enroll, convince, or control, but simply as someone who can spring you or me from the prison of ourself, if we will allow it. Do you hear the lilt and the beauty of those words? I am imprisoned by other folks in their lovelessness, if I allow it. But I'm also set free from their lovelessness, if I will allow it. So Barbara Brown Taylor, beautiful quote. I want you to hear it again, and I'll move on to another quote in a moment. But here it is. The hardest spiritual work in the world is to love the neighbor as the self, to encounter another human being not as someone to fix, change, use, help, save, enroll, convince, or control, but simply as someone who can spring you from the prison of yourself, if you will allow it. Earlier I mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and his quotes are legion. There are, oh my goodness, his books, his writings, his sermons are the stuff of classic literature and classic truth for those of us who have a hunger to hear it. Here's one of his famous, in my view, one of his famous quotes about love is from Facing the Challenge of a New Day, 1956. Listen to these words. We have before us the glorious opportunity to inject a new dimension of love into the veins of civilization. There is still a voice crying out that echoes across the generations, saying, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And he said, this might well be the salvation of our civilization. Oh, can I read that again? Just because it feels good to say it. That just the words taste like a great ice cream cone. Here it is. We have before us the glorious opportunity to inject a new dimension of love into the veins of civilization. This is 1956. How much more true is this now in 2019 and beyond? There is still a voice crying out that echoes across the generations saying, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And Dr. King went on to finish that by saying, this might well be the salvation of our civilization. I shared in a previous broadcast that One of the thin places of understanding that happens often in religious circles is that we're convinced that people have to believe. They've got to be freed from all doubts. They've got to be absolutely stunningly believers above all thing else. And I have come to doubt that seriously. I am not trying to make believers out of people. In fact, I'm not trying to make anything out of anybody. But I don't make it my goal that you have to believe, you have to eschew all your doubts. Well, frankly, I'm 66 and I've been walking as a man of faith, as a man of belief in Christ and a belief in the church, belief in the Bible. I've been walking that path for a half a century. And I'm going to be honest with you and tell you, I have doubts. I wrestle with doubts routinely. It's not the outside looking in of a human condition. The human condition is loaded with doubts. We doubt ourselves. We doubt God. We doubt others. We doubt, you know, we doubt the media. We doubt our government. We doubt others on a routine basis. So doubt is not some outside condition of the human existence. It's a part of who we are. And managing doubts out of one condition will save you, and that is this. Manage your doubts with love. Love for yourself. Love for others. Love for your life. Alive to love. Listen, I'm not alive to have ironclad certainty. I'm not alive to make sure that all my doubts have been done away with. I'm alive to love. Martin Luther King Jr. said here, we're called to love our enemies and bless them, and that this might well be the salvation of our civilization. I've heard some of my fellow church men and women say, the salvation of our nation is in the hands of having people come forward to an altar. The salvation of our nation rests in people praying a certain prayer, baptized in a certain way, going to a certain church. The salvation of our civilization has to be done in A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And, oh boy, you know, God bless them. May they run with that as hard as they know how and do all that they can possibly do. But I'm one person who's convinced that the salvation of our civilization does not rest in making sure everybody believes like I believe. The salvation of our civilization does not rest in making sure that everybody's prayed the prayer that I've prayed or had the baptism that I had or went to the brick and mortar of a certain church that I went to. No, that is not the salvation of our civilization. Martin Luther King Jr. said in 1956, and I agree with him here in the 21st century, that the salvation of our civilization might well be found in the simple words of Jesus, love your enemies. And as Barbara Brown Taylor said earlier that I quoted, that once we learn to love our neighbors, ourselves, or love our enemies, we are now given the keys to spring ourselves from our own prison. From our own prison, folks. We are imprisoned by our failure to confront in ourselves loving all of the folks that are all around me. So as I wrap this up, let's see, I've got a few minutes here, about 5 minutes. I want to make sure that you are hearing that the theme of these broadcasts here is to be alive to love, to live to learn to love. And that out of living to learn to love, we will plumb the depths of a wide variety of other issues. I'm not ignoring other challenges or problems, but I am saying that the way we wrestle with other issues is to start and finish with love. The starting line of life is love. Every baby born is crying for love. Now the race of life is run for love. Every baby, young boy, young girl that lives is looking for mom or dad or significant adults around them to bring love. Then the finish of life is also love, that we are going to meet and be looked at with the eyes of unconditional, unarmed love when we find ourselves in the face of God. The starting line of life is love. The race of life is love, and the finish line of life is love. And of course, there will be a lot of other challenges along the way. Career, family, we'll be faced with disappointments. We'll be exalted with congratulations for our accomplishments. We'll do great things. And yeah, we'll do some dumb things along the way. But let's cut the BS, folks. We are not here on this earth for accomplishments. We're not here on this earth to be known or famous or to just survive. We're here to be love and to be loving. So when we allow the love of God its rightful place in us, when we allow the love of God and our place in that love, we will find ourselves walking through life not for the purpose of, as I said earlier, fixing other people, changing other people, using other people, saving other people, enrolling people, or convincing them, but to love people right where they are and for who they are. I I'm writing a book about this, about love, and one of the basic truths of my book is that love is the one value of life that sustains it. I'm not called to unshakable faith. I'm called unshakable love. Genuine love is far too passionate to be timid. We must learn to surrender to the wild ride of uncertainty if love is ever to bring us to its authentic benefit and bounty. We are being challenged every day, every day, every day, every day. We're being challenged every day with a new idea. I've been a pastor, a church leader for the better part of 50 years, and I believe in church. Don't hear me say anything about church that would make you think that I don't believe in church anymore. That's just not true. I believe in church. But as churches come and go, and as fads in churches come and go, and they do, there must be an anchor for every door that opens to a church building. There must be an anchor for every church organization that is seeking to find a reason to keep those roofs from leaking and those budgets met. There's got to be an anchor. I believe that anchor can be nothing less than love. We are here to love folks exactly for who they are, and to know that everyone that walks in our door is looking for love. I believe that that as churches are struggling for their existence in the 21st century, and they are. Listen, churches today in the 21st century are fighting for membership. The numbers are undeniable. We're losing members here in the American church. We're losing numbers on a staggering basis. It's troubling to me. I do not relish that whatsoever. I am convinced, though, that until the church wrestles with unconditional love and unarmed truth, until the church comes to terms with loving our neighbors, loving our enemies, and loving God, then all the other stuff we do is just BS. It's just window dressing. We're just rearranging the deck furniture on the Titanic. We have got to come down to the one basis for which all of life is based, and that is love. Starting line is love, the race is love, and the finish line is love. And as it comes to the purpose of a church, an organization called the church, it is love. Well, my time is up. I've been delighted that you've given me the honor of your time. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, no BS. I am not here to BS you. I'm here to be alive to love, and I'm inviting you to join me to be alive to love. Let's go out there and face life with love. God bless you. Thanks for coming here today for No BS Bishop, Alive to Love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.